Probable for tonight's game with a hamstring strain. Michigan forward Morez Johnson Jr. will keep his name in the 2026 NBA draft. The Vegas Golden Knights lost their appeal of the fines in stripping of draft picks for not following media rules during the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've got Colorado in game one of the West Finals tomorrow.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the National Milk Producers Federation praised a new USDA interim final rule expanding milk options in federal child nutrition programs, allowing schools to offer whole and 2% milk at breakfast and other federally supported meals. The rule implements key portions of the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act of 2025, signed into law in January, and restores milk choices removed under federal nutrition standards adopted in 2012. Dispute is growing over federal grazing policy in western states as environmental groups prepare legal challenges against efforts to expand livestock grazing on public lands. The Center for Biological Diversity filed notice of intent to sue over the administration's new grazing action plan, which would reopen and expand grazing allotments across parts of the West. The group argues the plan could violate the Endangered Species Act by threatening wildlife habitat and sensitive ecosystems. And more than three quarters of the USDA researchers affected by the planned agency relocation say they do not intend to move, according to a federal employee union survey raising concerns about staffing losses and disruptions to ag research. The Federal News Network reports that 76% of the employees surveyed said they would not relocate under the USDA plans to move positions from Washington, D.C. to Kansas City, similar to a 2019 move in which 85% resigned or retired.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station featuring the Ag Information Network News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are lower in afternoon trading as the tech-led rally continues to lose momentum and as 10-year Treasury yields continue to spike. Oil prices remain elevated as inflation fears mount, with West Texas Intermediate crude at around $108 a barrel. Investors will be digesting a batch of earnings this week, including from the world's most valuable company, Nvidia, after the closing bell on Wednesday. Its results could be a test of the recent tech-fueled stock market rally. And shares of CoreWeave down 6%. After the Wall Street Journal reported that Alphabet and Blackstone plan to create an AI cloud company to rival CoreWeave using Google's specialized chips. And United Airlines is expecting strong passenger numbers this summer. However, the upbeat outlook isn't helping its stock, which is falling 3%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You know, protecting your home should not be a headache. Many security companies, they lock you into these multi-year contracts. No, Simply Safe Home Security, they do things differently. With Simply Safe, you get award-winning 24/7 professional monitoring around a buck a day without any long-term commitment. Simply Safe, they just want to earn your trust every day by doing a great job. Right now, you'll get 50% off your custom system by going to simplysafe.com/Hannity. Half off when you go to simplysafe.com/Hannity. And remember, there's no safe like Simply Safe.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
The Attorney General has come up with a new twist in the ongoing effort to take away the guns Americans use for self-defense, hunting, and recreational purposes. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Edward Levy, the new Attorney General of the United States, proposes that strict federal controls be placed on handguns in urban areas with high or rising crime rates. In those areas, he'd make it illegal to sell, transfer, or bring in handguns or ammunition. His theory presumably is that people bent on murder, robbery, and other violent crimes would suddenly be deterred because it would be illegal for them to carry or use guns. Now that's funny. It seems to me that the best way to deter murderers and thieves is to arm law-abiding folk, not disarm them. Before we disarm the average American, we should ask ourselves, what is it that deters a criminal? I think there are three answers. Fear of punishment, fear of getting caught, and fear of being hurt or wounded during the commission of the crime. You can't punish the criminal unless you catch him, so his first real fears are of capture and of being hurt. These come at the hands of either the police or the intended victims. When you come right down to it, there aren't many police out there in comparison to the number of potential victims. As a result, many criminals go uncaught. And easy bail, easy judges, and soft laws quickly put back on the street too many of those who are caught. This leaves the intended victim pretty much in the position of having to fend for himself, though the average victim doesn't actually fend very well. He or she is usually a peaceful person who isn't well-versed in any art of self-defense, whether it be with gun, fist, or karate chop. Nevertheless, as news story after story shows, if the victim is armed, he has a chance. A better chance by far than if he isn't armed. Nobody knows, in fact, how many crimes are not committed because criminals know that a certain store owner has a gun and will use it. And nobody knows how many crimes are committed only because a store or home looks like an easy touch. It seems to me that Mr. Levy has things backward. Rather than take away guns of the law-abiding in areas where criminals and crimes are rampant, he should encourage homeowners and business people to purchase them and learn how to use them properly. If Mr. Levy succeeds in outlawing guns in high crime areas, he'll only have made sure that the law-abiding citizens in those areas are sitting ducks for any gun-wielding criminal who comes along. Americans should always be alert to proposals that would lessen their ability to defend themselves, their homes, their families, and their businesses. And this includes the proposals to take away their firearms. After all, guns don't make criminals. It's criminals who make use of guns. They're the ones who should be punished, not the law-abiding citizen who seeks only to protect himself. I'm going to be talking about this for the next couple of days. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Thank you.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 1230. The bear is in the building. It's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have two great guests today. Our first guest is Joe Hamm, author of Social Media Matrix, How Social Media Has Confused, Lied, and Made Humans into Zombies, Controlled by Misinformation and Lies. We're going to talk about the power of social media on mental and emotional health, what's an algorithm and why does it matter, and what happens to the human mind when it can no longer discern the facts and fiction. Joe, welcome to PWM.
How are you today? How's everyone doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and I think my audience will be even better after you get to chat with them. All right, so stand by 1 second, and our 1 o'clock guest is Greg Haskin, our old friend Greg. He's the executive director of CoLab. We're going to talk about the ins and outs of the upcoming Slo County budget draft. I know that doesn't sound terribly scintillating, but believe me, it's important. Illusion of creating affordable housing in San Luis Obispo County, and thoughts and commentary on the upcoming primary election. You can call or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Joe, quickly, not so quickly, but tell us how you got to become an author. I know you're a family man, you got some kids, but you started writing books. How did that all happen?
So originally I was writing lyrics,
Joe?
Actually for... Yes, I'm here.
Joe, are you with me? Whoops.
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Did we lose Joe?
I'm here. Hello?
Sorry, folks. We seem to have lost our guest.
Hello?
Joe, are you muted or anything?
No. Hello? Hello?
Okay, folks, well, I'm going to text Joe and ask him to call back in, so give me a second, and hopefully he'll be back with us in a moment. There he is. Joe, you're back with us.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Joe?
Hello?
Wonder if we're having a problem here with phones. Well, Ann, if you're listening, would you mind checking the panel to make sure the phones are turned on? We had them there for a second. All right. Well, let's go ahead and we'll talk a little bit about what Joe's book is about here while we wait for him. Joe is and talk a little bit about Joe. He's got, I'm going to drop you again, Joe. If you're hearing us, call me back again. Sorry about the technical issue. Joe is actually a recent author. Oh, we'll try it again. Here we go. Joe, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. We're back in business. We had a little technical problem.
No worries. I thought it was me at first.
No, I it's the wonders of live radio, and I lose sleep over it usually, but that's okay. Thank you, Ann. Ann was helpful in getting us back online here. Anyway, so tell us a little bit about how you became an author. You know, obviously, I know you have a day job, but, You've written a number of different books, and on different topics. So how did that all happen?
So originally, when I started out, I actually started out writing music. So I was a music artist at first. And then I got to a certain point where I decided I didn't want to do music anymore. So I started coming up with the idea that I should start writing books. So I did a little bit of research on like what it takes to write books, took a couple creative writing classes, and then I started out writing two children's books. One of them is called Fancy Fancy. Another one is called I Love Love Yourself. And then I wrote two horror mystery, murder mystery novels. And after that, I wrote another book called 365 Days of Bettering You. It's called Seeds of Strength. It's basically an affirmation novel. And then from there, I Am a Leader, and in this book, Social Media Matrix, which you introduced. But writing has always been a passion for me. I've been doing writing since I was a little kid, so I just knew it was something that I wanted to continue doing, even if it wasn't through music. I still wanted to keep writing.
Well, you know, you write with great clarity and great economy, too. You don't waste a lot of words. You know, you get to the point, and I really appreciate that, and we're going to get into that here right now. Why did you turn your attention to social media? Was there something there that, you know, piqued your interest to get in, to look into?
For me, social media is more as a point for me to market my brand and to market my books. Without social media, I couldn't get word of mouth to have people buy my books and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say social media has become a diehard thing for me. I kind of love and hate it at the same time, though, because it can be kind of draining as well. But because of social media, that was the reason why I came up with Social Media Matrix. It was just an idea that I came up based on things that I've seen and stuff that I noticed about social media and its algorithms and, you know, the posting of, you know, things online that create an illusion that really isn't true and kind of depleting the idea that reality, between reality and fiction.
Well, you know, your book, and I know I shared this with you, your book closely, you know, tracks with a very prominent book that was published about 2 years ago by Jonathan Haidt about what terrible things have happened to our children, their attention right. spans and all that. You say it in a lot fewer words, which I truly appreciate. but again, when I read the book, I knew you were onto something. So I think one of the things that you talk about a lot is how social media grabs us, and it's through right. the use of algorithms. Explain to people, everybody hears the word algorithm. What is it, and how do they work, and how do they manipulate us?
Well, I think, you know, algorithms are designed to grab the attention of specific people. I don't think there's an exact, you know, stationary, you know, way to do it. I just think algorithms are put out there in mixed forms, though, because, you know, social media has a way of knowing what you gravitate towards based on the posts that you make, so, and the things that you click on. So once you start clicking on, like, if you click on politics, it's going to show you all the political stuff, but the problem about algorithm is it doesn't always show you the truth. It'll just show you based on what you are feeling and what your emotions are stating. And I think that in a way, the misinformation can influence you in a very negative way. But algorithms are very tricky, though, and people rely too much on the algorithm and not enough on the factual information. There isn't enough people doing their own research to realize the difference between the illusion and the reality of social media.
So what I got out of the book is that, I mean, you know, and again, I mean, basically the algorithm is tracking our habits as we scroll and click and look at different sites and web pages, and every social media platform has its own secret sauce, right, for their algorithms.
Right.
And ultimately, I mean, it's not really reading our minds so much as tracking our habits and then providing us with content it thinks we'd like to see, correct?
Right. It caters towards the things that you look at, though. So you're only getting the information based on how you're clicking on posts and what you're looking at specifically, which I think is very dangerous at the same time, though, because it doesn't allow you to find out the truth about things, though, either. It's pretty much controlling and navigating you through the maze that they want you to be in.
Yeah, like a rat, huh?
Right.
A remote control rat. So, you know, right. Again, and I think one of your major points here, I just opened your book to chapter 10. I dog-eared pages. I hope you're not offended. But, you know, chapter 10 is titled Surveillance Disguised as Convenience. Explain that.
Well, I think, you know, surveillance is disguised as convenience is basically saying that basically what you look at and what they post on there is convenient to the information that you want to have fed to you, though. So by making it convenient, it doesn't allow you to go and figure out what's really out there, though. So it's just, to most people, it's just convenient to see it right there in front of you. So when you read it, you're like, okay, I don't have to go look at anything. It's right there in front of me, so that's got to be it.
And really, these algorithms are designed to kind of get us to respond, mostly in anger, right. Correct?
Right.
Because they know, or really, they're designed to evince certain emotions out of us, correct?
Right, because, I mean, there could be certain posts, and the thing that's interesting about the viral content is it definitely does shape your opinions on certain things, so if there's an opinion that you have and you start looking at certain things that, you know, wile you up and make you angry, you're going to start seeing more of those posts, so your emotions get into it, and I think that's where it plays a big part in mental health. Like, there's a mental impact in that, because we rely so much on that information that it affects the way our brain thinks, though, and so the ability to think on our own suddenly gets shut off because the information that we are receiving is playing into our emotions, though. So it's either something that can make you sad, something that'll make you angry, something that'll even make you even confused at the same time, though. And I think confusion is a probably good way to explain the way that social media causes people to feel.
So when we were talking earlier this week, you said that there's four primary areas that this impacts us. So the first impact is understanding fact versus fiction. Okay, mm-hmm. How does it do that? How does social media do that to us?
Well, I think that's the problem, is social media doesn't give you information that's like when you click on something. There's no way to know if it's fact or fiction, though, because you're just seeing it there. And I think the problem is, though, is that a lot of people will see stuff on social media and they'll think that's real. Mm-hmm. But the biggest issue is that there's a lot of AI out there right now that are causing confusion to videos. Like,
right.
Just as an example, with most recent events in this war with Iran right now, is there's a lot of videos I notice where it shows Iran getting bombed, like, repeatedly. Someone had an AI video showing, like, a nuclear missile that hit, and then when you go and research it, you find out, you're like, this stuff isn't really happening. But mm-hmm. you look at it, and you think it's, you just can't differentiate between what's real and what's not anymore. So with this information, it causes you to kind of just dumb it down a little bit.
This really messes with your mind. I mean, your whole social, emotional health is impacted because it really, I mean, for some people that can't disconnect effectively, right. And we're going to talk about how people can disconnect after the break, but, you know, it really, I mean, it keeps them on edge. It really impacts their mental health and their social relationships, right?
Right, and I think the addiction to social media has a big impact on the emotional health because we become so dependent, like our dependency on it is so great that everything that we see, and like if we get likes or comments or if we don't, it affects the mental, it has a big mental impact on people, though, in general, though.
Yep. Well, and I think one of the things, and I don't know if you had a chance to pick up Haidt's book, but I mean, he really does talk about how in kids, this is just creates all kinds of problems as far as their personal self-worth and mm-hmm. creates a lot of depression and makes them anxious.
Right.
So
right.
it's probably really important for parents to get the kids not to be sitting there, you know, with their phones constantly.
Right. And I think, too, with kids now, like, The biggest issue I have, and I have three kids myself, but social issues is a big thing that's becoming more of an issue with kids now, like the ability to talk to people, to navigate in public, to be around people in social circles, the ability to have intelligent conversation is kind of becoming less because these kids are so used to socializing through social media that when they get in public, they don't know how to interact. And I think that can cause even more of an anxiety or like a social anxiety to a lot of people because they're so used to, you know, like expressing themselves through emojis, which instead of expressing it, you know, literally with people, though, they're using emojis to express themselves. It's like, you know, between like a thumbs up or a heart, something like that, you know. So, and then I think the other issue is, too, is that becoming so dependent on social media has given... It's made it difficult for people to have intelligent conversations with each other because, you know, we get so angry and emotional over social media that I think social media creates a lot of arguments and dysfunction with people, though. And like we can't like sit down and agree to disagree because we're so caught up on emotions based on what we see on social media, though. And that creates a social impact on everybody, not just kids, but grown-ups and, you know, middle-aged people, young people, old people. Like, it's just a very bad social distortion.
Well, you know, I know that I try not to do a lot of social media. I really, and after reading your book, I'm trying to do even less. But I, you know, a couple of the sites, and I'm not going to mention them. But I mean, people just get really angry at each other,
right?
And
right.
and aren't willing to even think about outside their own narrow view of the world, and then they get aggravated and it just gets amplified. So
right.
You know, you and I we're coming up on a break in about 2 or 3 minutes, so I do want to touch on this subject here. Okay. you and I were going back and forth. You know, well, one of the things I was going to say too is that it's like nobody wants to talk on the phone anymore. They just want to text with each other going back. And it's like, sometimes I just get so tired. I just call somebody. It's like, you know, because it's like, what's wrong? I think there's nothing better than hearing a human voice. I skipped a question here in my own mind here. How are you training your kids, not to get too addicted to social media?
Well, we have a big limit, though, on what they can view online, though. I encourage a lot of parents to do that with their kids because most of the stuff that, you know, like content in general, we have it blocked on a lot of our kids. They can watch YouTube, but usually they're watching, like, kid stuff. I know my son, he likes watching, like, National Geographic stuff. He likes watching... His big thing is that he loves to play chess, so... He watches videos on how to play chess and moves to make and how to win against your opponent. My two daughters, they love watching dance videos, so they're always taking videos of themselves dancing the song. So, but I do think that like grown-ups who have kids should definitely limit their use on their iPads. I always try to get my kids to go outside and ride their bikes or play basketball. One of the biggest things I think is just as far as having an impact on the way they view social media is to be present in their kids' lives and make sure that they're always interacting with them and socializing them, playing with them, though, because that allows them to, it trains them to get away from the, you know, the iPad or the phone and social media, though, on their own. And then I think once you do that, though, it kind of trains their mind a little bit. So when they get a little older, they know how to kind of break away from social media and not be so dependent on it, though.
Yep. Well, you know what? On that note, I hear the bumper music. I'm going to put you on hold for about 2 minutes. Okay, so stand by. And when we return, we're going to be talking about what social media and not having a clear sense of reality does to the human mind. And then I want to get Joe's tips to everybody on how they can break their addiction to social media. So folks, stand by. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Joe Hamm, author of a book called Social Media Matrix, How Social Media Has Confused, Lied, and Made Humans into Zombies. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Joe, when we were texting back and forth, I was watching a news broadcast, and they were talking about all the AI, and it dawned on, and they were talking about the fact that it's going to be hard for people to really understand what they're looking at anymore when they're on right. Social media. And I texted you the question: what happens to the human mind when it doubts all reality after a while? What happens?
Well, I think we just give up. That's my whole thing. I think. There's a movie where I can't remember what the name. I think it was like WALL-E or something like that, where eventually they rely so much on the robots and stuff like that they stop going out. They sit around all the time and they start gaining weight. They become unhealthy and they're just floating around on chairs and everything like that, allowing robots to do their work. But my worry about it is that it'll end up being something like that. You know, we're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything but eating food, you know, depending on how high food prices go by then, though. but I think I think one thing about AI, too, is it's breaking away the idea that people are able to work. AI takes a lot of jobs from people, though, so that's another spot that we're kind of headed towards would, you know, be a lack of jobs because AI is doing the work for them, though, and companies, big companies are hiring AI to do the work that, you know, people can do for themselves.
Well, there's definitely going to be some dislocation of people who, and I feel really badly for the late wave millennials and early wave Gen Zers who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on college to do XYZ, and now XYZ doesn't exist anymore. And I mean, that it's happened before in our history, and hopefully jobs will you know, I guess morph or turn into other types of jobs. And that's all we can hope for, I guess, because I don't think there's any stopping this AI. I mean, I use it all the time to help build the show out every week because it makes it go faster, really. So,
And I use it for work too, to create professional emails for clients that I'm emailing to as well.
So we got a few minutes left here. What are some of the best ways for people to get clear? To break their addiction to social media?
Well, I think, you know, so social media, you know, we look to social media because we have dopamine that is created when you look at social media. We're trying to escape the stress and the loneliness, validate intention, maybe habitual boredom, or, you know, I think identifying where you're getting the information from people on social media is a good key. A lot of people like to get automatic responses from posts. I think by removing the automatic response from posts, it kind of limits you from automatically picking up your phone and looking at the post just to see what it is. And then you get caught up into it, though, and you start commenting and stuff like that is another key. I know, like, the brain doesn't like empty spaces. And I think to kind of replace scrolling with something that still gives you stimulation, like music creation, writing, exercise, reading, maybe designing artwork, calling your friends on the phone or going and hang out with them, taking walks, or creating, you know, business projects or ideas. Create social media windows, like tell yourself you're only going to look online 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening, and nothing during meals or works or before sleep. I think also structure can reduce compulsive behavior. Sometimes it affects how you sleep. When you keep your phone nearby, you're always addicted, and really you want to see what's next, and you wake up in the middle of the night scrolling. I think they call it doom scrolling before sleep.
Doom scrolling, God almighty.
Yeah, and then I think also, too, keeping a tab on your emotional triggers to notice, you know, every time you reach your phone, are you stressed? Are you anxious? Are you lonely? Are you avoiding work? Do you feel rejected? Are you bored? I think because based on what you're feeling at that moment can really be dependent on what you're looking and searching at. Sometimes I would say even taking breaks from social media for a certain amount of days, while you're on the break, take a vacation, go with family, hang out with your kids, you know, do things like go to the park or exercise, take a walk.
Call somebody on the phone.
Yeah, call somebody on the phone, talk to them about your life, you know. And I think one of the biggest keys is to not expect perfection. You know, most people relapse into old habits occasionally. I think spending a few hours on the phone, less compulsive checking, more intentional use, and better focus and mood would help you a lot when it comes to social media, and it would also would perfect your mood from day to day basis and how you feel in life and the way you respond to people and how you interact and the type of conversations you have. It would make it a little bit more broader.
All great advice. I'm sorry our time is up right now, Joe, but people can get all your books on Amazon. If they all have to do is type in Joe Hamm, right? And any new books come? Are you working on anything new?
I am working on another book. I don't have the title yet, though, but I am working on another book.
Okay.
I do have a poetry novel coming out pretty soon, too.
Keep me posted. Thank you for taking time with me and my audience today, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
It was a
pleasure. Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break with Greg Haskett of CoLab talking about county business and important issues that are, we're faced with.
Join
today.
Us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.